My name is Chloe Cole, and I am a detransitioner. Another way to put that would be, I used to believe that I was born the wrong body, and the adults in my life, whom I trusted, affirmed my belief, and this caused me lifelong, irreversible harm. I speak to you today as a victim of one of the biggest medical scandals in the history of the United States of America.
Do you remember a time when the thinking shifted for you from feeling maybe I'm bisexual to maybe I'm in the wrong body?
I mean, really, it was just based on these feelings that I wasn't feminine enough or that I didn't fit into the mold. These new terms with which you could describe yourself and explore your identity and explain it to other people. And like all the colorful flags. And it seemed so tightly knit. It seemed so loving and happy. I mean, it sucked me in.
So were you 15 when you had the surgery?
Yeah, I was 15 years old. And I started to wake up and realize that it wasn't quite the experience that I anticipated it to be. I was incredibly just depressed. It was destroying me, but I couldn't even fathom, like, how could I stop being transgender when I've already gone this far?
That's the voice of Chloe Cole, and you heard her story, at least a bit of it. That came from a podcast called Maybe God. But Chloe is testified in Congress about how she regrets transitioning, how her parents encouraged her. We might hear a little bit more of her story later in the show. But because transgenderism is causing so much havoc and damage and destruction to young people's lives, to their parents, and to the nation, we need to address it today. And a few months ago, I ran into my good friend Walt Heyer. Walt is he's a man, fully a man, but many years ago, he transitioned from a man to a woman, did the whole surgery, everything. And his story is pretty remarkable. But the thing that's even more remarkable about Walt is he went full-time into helping other people. He's been doing it for decades now to help them. He calls it sex change regret. It's really amazing the work that Walt does. So we're going to talk to him in just a second. But first, let me tell you a story. Deanna already had 8 children and was in a tumultuous marriage. The thought of another child was more than she could bear. She tried to order the abortion pill, but by God's design, it never came. At 18 weeks along, Deanna visited a preborn network clinic. While getting her sonogram, her baby waved at her. Then she remembered that this was the baby that she had asked God for. God saved her baby that day, and he also saved her. Well, of course, preborn is the key player in this. These moms have these incredible stories to tell, but when they walk into preborn, they're able to see, thanks to your generous donations, their baby inside their womb doing what babies do, sucking their thumbs, waving at their moms. And so when moms see their babies, so many of them, over half, maybe 60%, like Deanna, don't go through with an abortion. It is such a valuable ministry. That's why they're advertising our show, and that's why I'm so happy to help them raise money to make this possible. If you'd like to help Preborn provide an ultrasound for a mom like Deanna, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. All right, well, this is Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. This is Christmas time, and I love Christmas. I really do. Sometime I'll tell you more. Well, maybe when Bruce joins me, when we're doing Christmas week, we'll talk about it. But Christmas has really changed for me since I met him. So I'll tell you that story. If you'd like to call us, call 662-821-2040. That's 662-821-2040. Or write us at sandy@afr.net. sandy@afr.net. You can also find us on social media. Twitter is the one I use the most, or X, and my handle, as they call it, everyone's different, is @SandyRiosTweet. That's a place where you can really get news. That's what I use all the time, @SandyRiosTweet. But I'm on Telegram, YouTube for some things, and Facebook and Twitter. So also, if you want to listen to the podcast, some people are still not used to that. You can go to your favorite podcast platform, whichever it is, Spotify or Amazon. Some of you are getting used to it. But if you're not used to going to a podcast platform, AFR.net is home base. AFR.net, and you can find the podcast there. Or you can go to my website, which is sandyrios.com, And that's a real easy way to listen. Also, I would encourage you, especially at Christmas time here, to sign up for our mailing list at sandyrios.com, because we'll send you some emails and just give you some other information that you wouldn't normally have. And we'd love to have you as our, you know, official listening family, sandyrios.com. All right, well, this is going to be fascinating. And we're going to start the show officially. And when we come out of the opening of that of the show, you're going to hear Chloe Cole give her testimony, at least a portion of it, on Capitol Hill. And then we're going to talk to Walt Heyer on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
My name is Chloe Cole, and I am a 17-year-old detransitioner from the Central Valley. I was medically transitioned from ages 13 to 16. My parents took me to a therapist who affirmed my male identity, and the therapist did not care about causality or encourage me to learn to be comfortable with my body. He brushed off my parents' concerns about the efficacy of hormones, puberty blockers, and surgeries. My parents were given the threat of suicide as a reason to move me forward in my transition. My endocrinologist, after 2 to 3 appointments, put me on puberty blockers and injectable testosterone. At age 15, I asked to remove my breasts. My therapist continued to affirm my transition. I attended a top surgery class that was filled with around 12 girls that thought they were men. Most were my age or younger. None of us were going to be men. We were fleeing from the uncomfortable feeling of becoming women. I was unknowingly physically cutting off my true self from my body, irreversibly and painfully. Our trans identities were not questioned. I went through with surgery. Despite having therapists and attending the top surgery class, I really didn't understand all of the ramifications of any of the medical decisions I was making. I wasn't capable of understanding, and it was downplayed consistently. My parents, on the other hand, were pressured to continue my so-called gender journey with a suicide threat. I will never be able to breastfeed a child. I have blood clots in my urine. I am unable to fully empty my bladder. I do not yet know if I am capable of carrying a child to full term. In fact, even the doctors who put me on puberty blockers and testosterone do not know. SB 107 is circumventing states' laws that have needed safeguards in place so my story is not repeated. Children cannot consent. Vote no on SB 107.
Well, that's the voice of Chloe Cole. If that does not break your heart, I don't know what will. That's also, you hear that she's, you know, been given hormones so that she sounds like a man. I think that changes. I think they start giving them estrogen after the change to make them, come back to the feminine side, which is their, that's how God made them. And Walt Heyer's going to talk about that in just a second. But this is what our kids are facing. And I want to say to all of you, before we listen to Walt, that these are people's children. These are people like your children, your neighbor's children. These are your friends. You'll hear me talk about a good friend of mine with Walt who transitioned. And so they are not monsters. They are people that are seriously confused, sometimes mentally ill, just desperate, searching. And they are not getting guidance. They're not getting guidance from churches. They're not getting guidance from schools. They're just not getting guidance in the culture. Well, Walt Heyer is a beacon of truth on this. And so let's listen to his years of experience and what he says about what's happening here.
Someone who's sitting across from me is also a person that's been a friend for a number of years. He has an incredible story, which he's told. Walt Heyer, how many times have you told your story? Have you counted it?
A million.
That's probably true. That's probably true. But as an adult male, you correct me. I'm going to just give the cliff notes, and you tell me which part I get wrong, because it's you were an executive in California in a company. And you went through a transition to be a woman. And you lived that way for 7, 8 years. And then you began to have regrets about it. It was just not what you had hoped.
And then you detransitioned, went through the whole thing in reverse course, and you lived the last how many years as the way God made you?
Since 1990.
Since 1990, and you're married. Your wife, Casey, is right there. Hi, Casey. Yeah,
27 years.
Yeah, so, okay. Let me move you just a little closer. Thank you. Thank you. So, Walt, you've written several books about this. I think 9, you said. And let me just mention a few of them because they're excellent. Trans Life Survivor, another one called Paper Genders, which I love, which really does capture it's a great picture of what it is. It's pretend and fragile. Transgender Faith, and I guess that's about your faith in Christ. Is that right? Walt, remind me, wasn't it a spiritual transformation that kind of spurred you to go back to being a man?
Yes. I mean, what happened was sort of a slow process where I realized that hormones and surgery don't really change who you are. You can change the outside, but you can't change what God created. You can destroy what God created, and you can deny who you are. You can try to live without Christ, but when you realize that you are made perfect, right from the giddy-up, and the only thing a gender clinic can do is destroy who you are with hormones and surgery. Not one person needs hormones and surgery. What we need is the power and grace of Jesus Christ to transform. If we're going to transform our life, we do it through Christ, not at a gender clinic.
And that's what you've been amazing. You've been amazing. Because are there others now that have detransitioned who are partnering with you, or are you still kind of a lone wolf in that?
Yeah, I'm always a lone wolf, Sandy. You know, one of the things is that no one is a transgender. They haven't even, the first, you know, this is a biblical, when we talk about the biblical part of it, no one in world history has ever changed their gender, so there are no transgenders. So what it really means is no one has ever transitioned, and then in the 4,000 or 5,000 people that I've worked with, I haven't even found any with gender dysphoria. They have everything else going on. So when people say that you've detransitioned, I say, no, I didn't detransition. I never transitioned, so you can't detransition. The only thing I did was stop identifying as a female. And I denied the fact that the Lord had made me the way I was, and until the Lord redeemed my life and I resumed honoring and glorifying Jesus, because that's what it's about. How are we going to honor and glorify Jesus Christ with our life? We do it with our body, we do it with our speech, we do it with our action. We don't do it with hormones and surgery.
So I'm going to ask you again, are you telling me seriously, Walt, after all these years, and I know you've had great success, we're going to talk about that. I want to talk about your website. I'm guessing you're still doing that, having these conversations around the globe with people in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no one that you know that has gone through these surgeries, become a different gender, you know, surgically, and then come back the other way and had things added, stopping the hormones, and come back to what God created them as and as a Christian. No one else? You're the only one?
Some of the people aren't Christian when they come back to reality. They just come back to reality. Some of them are. I've worked with people who hate Jesus, and they found their way back. And I feel like, you know, they're going to find Jesus. The point is that now they're right with themselves. And so I've worked with Muslims. I've worked with every conceivable genre of, you know, faith all across the world. And they still contact me and still ask me for help. Jews, just so many different groups.
Oh, I'm sure that's true. I just was wondering. Well, all right, so you get a lot of questions. You set up the website, or I don't know if it's still called a website.
Sexchangeregret.com.
And that's how you've heard from people all over the country.
Yeah, we started that about 16 years ago.
So we've had enough time now to maybe have some research on transitions or whatever.
People who identify as transgender.
Yeah, okay. You're going to have to work on me with this language part.
That's right. No worries.
But so what is the research showing? Are there, I'm assuming it's like abortion, because I know more about that. There's a ton of regret on abortion, but not everyone has regret. And some women seem to be happy. I always say they haven't lived their full life yet, so I think the regret will come later. But are you? What is the research showing about what this is doing to people who are going through this?
Well, what happens is a person goes through this. I've had people, Sandy, contact me 40 years after the surgery and say they regret it. I've had them at 30 years, 25, 20. I've had them at 3 weeks after surgery. So what we know is the only thing we can do is devalue somebody by telling them they can change genders. Then we put hormones in them. Then we dehumanize who they are. Then we do surgery to them. Then we destroy who they are. In the eyes of Christ, we were made perfect to begin with. Hormones and surgery only destroys your ability to function as a man or a woman. You didn't change gender. So, you know, there is a lot of troubled people who take hormones, I was one of them, and go through the surgery because they have psychological disorders. And they've tried to live out these painful events that happen in their life, or not being treated for the underlying comorbid disorder, which is like dissociative disorder, obsessive compulsive disorder, schizophrenia, bipolar, you go down the list. What we need to be doing is addressing the underlying comorbid disorders, treating them, and preventing the people from thinking that they need hormones and surgery. Because once you treat the underlying comorbid disorders, the whole idea about changing genders or wanting to be somebody else goes away.
No, I'm sure that's true. I think I told you. I know I did, but you don't have to remember. Oh, I should now ask you to tell me what I've told you before 10 years ago, but I'm kidding.
Yeah.
There'll be a test. See what you remember. No, I
know you had someone.
I had a dear friend.
Yes, I remember.
Yeah, and while he was considering all of this, it's a long story. He confessed it to me, and I didn't respond well. He was a big guy, was in the military, and I was just shocked beyond measure. I was just shocked. He had family, kids. Mm-hmm. I knew all of them. I'd known them for years.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried, you know, there was no help for them then. Nobody helped for people confused like that, Walt. That was a number of years ago.
Right.
And he went to a woman in Evanston, and she had written that book called Gender Benders.
Mm.
That was she was a psychologist who was working with people like that. She was all excited. Mm. And so she had all these stories of people who had been confused about their gender and how wonderful, every story was how wonderful it was after they went through this transition. Mm. How miraculous, how fabulous.
Mm.
And so my friend wanted me to read that, and I did. And I said to him, I'm not his name. I just said, friend, do you know there's something missing here?
Mm-hmm.
Do you notice they don't say anything about, this is like right after the surgery, they don't say anything about what it was like to go back to their children, to their wives, to their husbands,
mm-hmm.
what it was like to, you know, assimilate and call, what, really? I don't see any of that. And you're thinking about doing this, and this is like a rah-rah book that says right after it you just feel great. That's not enough. What happens after that? And I think that's what I'm asking you to, Walt. Do we have anything now that's documented, maybe nobody's doing any research on this, about the effect that it's having on people's lives after they've made that decision? There is some euphoria initially, right?
Yeah, there's euphoria initially, but we know that people are 19 times more likely to commit suicide after going through the hormones and surgery.
For almost 4 years, we've been talking about the J6ers, people that went to Washington, to the Capitol on January 6th to support President Trump after the 2020 election. And for almost 4 years, dozens, really you could say hundreds, have been in jail or prison, most of them for petty, contrived sentences, like parading in the Capitol. Families have been devastated financially. Not a few of the J6ers have committed suicide. But many have gone deep with Christ to a renewed, powerful faith. Well, the J6 Christmas Drive, which is where I'm leading here, it's a way that you can help. And I think many of you would love to help. Let me just describe it. It's a way to take care of the families or kids without their dads, moms alone and struggling. I've featured so many of them on the show. I don't think I have to paint such a vivid picture. You know they have tremendous needs. If you would like to help them this Christmas, go to www.patriotmailproject.com/2024 Christmas Drive. I'll do that again. PatriotMailProject.com/2024Christmas Drive and give what you can give. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
Hey, if you're looking for a Christmas gift, consider sending my new book, God's Velvet Hammer. It's available at Amazon.com. And you know, a fun way to enjoy it is to listen to the audio, which is available on Audible. I recorded it in Chicago with a longtime friend, Todd Busteed of Gap Digital. It was an emotional experience I did not expect since I had spent hours putting my story into words. But perhaps that emotion, the laughter and the sorrow, will bring my story to life for you, as it did for me. The book is called God's Velvet Hammer, available on Amazon and Audible. Merry Christmas to each and every one of you.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Well, right now there are babies in their mom's rooms who need our help. As the year comes to a close, your tax-deductible donation can be the difference between life and death. Would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your gift of $15,000 will place a machine in a needy women's center, saving countless lives for years to come. And now, through a match, your gift is doubled. Go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. And make your most generous Christmas donation.
The treatment options for gender-affirming care for transgender youth really are evidence-based.
What would you say to folks who think that they're being reasonable by saying, why can't children just wait till they're 18?
Adolescence is hard and puberty is hard. What if you're going through the wrong puberty? What if you inside feel that you are female, but now you're going through a male puberty?
The argument is, well, they're too young to know.
I want to make it clear that for prepubertal children, there are no medical procedures done. The standard of care allows them to explore that with therapy.
When you speak out against these bills, what do you cite as the harm?
Well, gender-affirming care is medical care. Gender-affirming care is mental health care. Gender-affirming care is literally suicide prevention care.
Well, that's the voice of a so-called transgender Rachel Levine, who is, she calls herself, he calls himself a she, but he's the assistant secretary at HHS, and he's also an admiral. He says he's the first admiral. I remember seeing a picture of him in baby doll pajamas at Reagan Airport, walking around with a little purse on his arm. He looks like Benjamin Franklin. It is the most ludicrous thing when he holds a press conference. Besides the ridiculousness of it, it is so dangerous. He just talked about how kids can be, you know, they can be in the wrong, going through the wrong puberty. He talks about the dangers of suicide. He's leading the charge. This is Health and Human Services, for heaven's sake. And they're the ones that have been fighting for this to be provided for the hormones, for the surgeries, all of it. He's led the charge. And so that's why I wanted you to hear what he had to say. Thank God he's done. He's going to be done in a few months. Thank God. All right, well, we're talking with Walt Heyer. We're midway through our conversation with him. And I want to remind you that you can find Walt's stuff. He's written several books. He's also, you know, he counsels with people going through this confusion. He counsels people all over the world, as we discuss in our interview. just write this down, WaltHire.com. This would be for people that you know who are in crisis with this, who need some help, WaltHire.com. All right, here we go, second part with Walt Heyer.
So, you know, I think what's so interesting is that what we realize is that until we can dig down and find out what caused that person to not like who they are, because that's the bottom line. The bottom line is what caused you to not like who you are. And when I work with people and we dive into this, we discover what it is. And then when they discover what it was, when they reflect on what it was, then they realize they're not transgender. They realize they didn't have gender dysphoria. They realize that they didn't need hormones and surgery. I don't need to do anything. I just need to point them to themselves and have them reflect on what happened, what event was it that happened that caused them to not like who they are. And there's thousands of different things.
In the case of my friend, his grandmother used to dress him up as a little girl. When his family would go, she did that on a regular basis, and that's how he started, you know, wearing women's clothes when he could, because he grew up that way.
Yeah,
and
well, just... stop. Let me stop you.
Okay.
What is my story?
Well, didn't that happen to you too?
My grandma dressed
me. Your grandmother. Okay.
So same story. So same result, except the difference is I realized that grandma did not change my gender by putting in a purple dress on me.
Yeah.
I mean, that's to think that someone dressing you up in women's clothing changed your gender is totally insane.
Well, it's patterning, isn't it? It's just patterning, and
that's right.
And it's psychological.
That's right.
You know, it's like when we deal with men and women. Men who are gay. You know, now we know a lot of causes and effects, like a dominating mother or a neglectful father,
mm-hmm.
or I think the most profound and likely is that somebody somewhere along the way sexually abused them when they were small,
yes.
chose them and patterned them,
yes.
bent them toward this.
Absolutely.
And it's hard to get past that first sexual experience, a lot of guilt, and that's the way I've experienced sex, and that's the way you think you are.
And they won't admit it, because they realize if they admit it and you realize it, then they realize they really aren't homosexual, that they weren't born homosexual, that it occurred afterward.
Right.
And they don't want to admit that.
No, well, because the homosexual activists, you know, pattern them to believe that they're born that way.
Exactly.
And so it messes with their narrative.
I call it the circle of insanity.
Well, that's good. But now, in case of transgenderism, what other factors, because I don't really know, what other factors besides the one that we just shared?
Well, there's a thing called adverse childhood experiences. They're called ACEs. They've been studied since the 80s. And so we know that probably a large number of the people suffered from adverse childhood experience. There's actually a scale called the ACEs scale that a trauma therapist can actually test anyone on to see how badly they were affected by their childhood events. And the other one is the internet indoctrination. They get on the internet, they go into these sites, many of them are pornography, many of them are geared toward indoctrinating you. And then that's the second one. And then the third one is the social contagion, which we ran into really big time starting in 2020 with the lockdowns. And so what we have is kids especially or get caught up in the social contagion. So we have rapid onset social contagion. It's not rapid onset gender dysphoria. It's rapid onset social contagion. Kids do what kids do. We have four or five girls going to the clinic together to get male hormones. This is a social contagion. This is not an individual thing. So it's a fad. It's an addiction. The drugs that they give people, whether it be for male or female, are addictive steroids, and they're destructive. And so they know, listen, this is a $4.4 billion business, $4.4 billion business. So you got an old guy like me sitting there poking holes in it, and they're going to get upset because this is their revenue source. And so if they were to, which I believe we should shut down every clinic there is.
And, oh, I do too.
And stop abusing children who've already been abused, abuse them again, and get back to reality, the fact that no one's ever changed genders.
Well, this reminds me of Demetrius the silver guy, the guy who was making gods out of silver in the biblical account. And he was so upset with Paul. because they were preaching against idols and it was ruining his business, you know. So some things never change. Right. I think my point is some things never change.
Yeah, that's exactly. Well, but we can change it if we start speaking up. I believe we feed the transgenderism by calling it transgender. Every time we say, you know, in the other countries, they say transgender identifying person. They don't ever call anyone a transgender. They say people identify as transitioning, not that they transition, because when you use the word transition or transgender, it's almost like it's fact.
Right, exactly.
And so, and I haven't found anybody, you know, gender dysphoria is probably one of the most fake diagnoses there's ever been. And the only reason they came up with the gender dysphoria diagnosis in 2013 and changed the manual was not to be more effective in helping people. It was to take away the stigma. This is the truth. Factual, you can look it up. The truth is they use gender dysphoria to take away the stigma of having a disorder. The people have a disorder, but they don't want you to know it, so you can't treat it, so you can't help them. This is the insane part of it, and it also feeds their business, because the only way that you can get hormones and surgery is to be diagnosed with gender dysphoria. Without that diagnosis, you can't get hormones and surgery.
Oh, interesting. You know, that this reminds me of another incident. Does the name Dr. Robert Spitzer mean anything to you? Dr. Robert Spitzer was a New York psychiatrist who was a bigwig and whatever the psychological, whatever the official professional organization is for psychiatrists, I can't recall. But this was during the whole issue of homosexuality. Oh, way so long. Oh, so quaint. When there was controversy about that, and there were so many more homosexual men, but the psychiatric community still had it listed as a mental disorder, among other things. And so they this conference, they were invaded by lots of homosexual men who were very powerful. There was a lot of intimidation, and they ended up, I can't remember, I'm sorry I'm being vague, but I can't recall, but I want to make, I'm sure I'm accurate. They actually decided to change that because they were being forced or pressured by the homosexual community who had, you know, in key positions. And so Dr. Roberts, the reason I, this story is amazing because Dr. Spitzer was a Jewish, probably an atheist. And I ended up having him on my radio program in Chicago because I knew about this. He didn't know I was a Christian. Once he found out, he was very hostile. But he actually explained what happened. And he came out of that conference saying, a little bit later, he had met some people who were formerly gay. They had come out of it. And he was beginning to believe they'd gotten that wrong, that they could change. And it was not like something that was innate and inherent. He got so much blowback, Walt, in New York and in the psychiatric community that he flipped and went back the other way again. I only say that to you because that sounds exactly what they've done, the same game plan on this issue.
Absolutely, yeah. It's been going on for years. Dr. Charles L. Ilenfeld, a homosexual endocrinologist in 1979, was working at the Harry Benjamin Clinic. He had worked with 500 men and had administered hormone to them for over a six-year period of time. Dr. Ilenfeld came out after the sixth year and says, I'm going into psychiatry because there is too much harm and too many suicides because of men taking hormones and identifying as 1979. I've published that document for years. He said they all have underlying issues. I'm not saying anything new here. And then you go fast forward to 2004. The University of Birmingham in the UK did an extensive study in 2004, published in The Guardian, which is not a right-wing rag. Published in The Guardian, the headline is that hormones and surgery are ineffective. Ineffective. And then in the third paragraph, it says it actually increases the likelihood of suicide. And so we've been going through this. I mean, they're shutting down clinics in the UK. They're not doing it anymore. People are realizing that this is nonsense. They're literally closing clinics. We found just yesterday, they found out that one of the clinics they closed, the head guy there that was doing it to children is also a pedophile. So he's being arrested and put in jail for pedophilia. He was the head honcho at the clinic.
I did not realize, Walt, I know Britain was like on the cutting edge of eliminating this. I did know that, but I didn't realize that they've really pretty much eliminated the clinics. And other places, parts of Europe, too.
Well, they're starting to close them. And here's the thing. There's been several studies. I can't call them off the top of my head, but the lady who founded gender-affirming care, the psychiatric doctor in Finland, came out and said, it doesn't work. It's harmful. I was the one who pioneered it, and we should stop it.
But America's not there.
Said, why not America?
Yeah, well, you know, this reminds me of, I saw a movie that's not out yet, about a month ago. It was a premiere on child sex trafficking, and it was, hang on a second. And what I learned in that movie that I had no idea is that the United States has become the sex trafficking for babies and children center of the world. There's such an appetite. So I'm saying, it just reminded me that, yeah, we've got, this is a cesspool of sickness. And so I guess I'm not surprised that we would continue. Although now, because of the children transition and the controversy and the parents, some hospitals, I just interviewed the whistleblower from Texas Children's Hospital yesterday, that young girl nurse. Such a great story. So they are shutting, I think, Vanderbilt, and there are other hospitals that have stopped doing that, right, Walt?
Yeah, there is. They're beginning to get there, but it's going to be a long road. You know, you've got our federal government who has Rachel Levine at HHS, which is the most despicable thing I've ever seen. You have some man dressed up as a woman pretending to be a woman, and they're celebrating this person. Person should not be in government, in my view.
And so, not doing health and human services,
no,
for sure. Maybe
they want to start giving hormones to eight-year-old kids. So if we get a change in administration and get some gray matter in the heads of people, we can stop this nonsense, which we need to do to save our children, save our families, and save our churches, because this is destroying churches. We got churches out there that are putting these transgenders in positions of authority that shouldn't happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Walt. I'm going to ask you one last thing. Because you have dealt with thousands of people who are struggling and they've reached out to you, just incredible stories. What story stands out? I just want to give hope, because there are people listening to us who probably do struggle with this. The problem hasn't gone away. It hasn't been solved, because the dysfunction in our lives will remain. It's just part of the world in which we live. It's fallen, and we have Satan as the prince of this world. So, what's a story that where you saw someone come out of that dysphoria, whatever we call it, and sort themselves out like you have, but that they've contacted you and you've kind of walked them through that? Tell us a story.
Yeah. So, you know, I've had several different cases, but sometimes it takes 2 or 3 years for them to walk out of it. Sometimes it happens quicker, but the biggest thing is they realize that the gender clinics, they say, lied to me. They tricked me. They duped me. I realized I could never become a woman, and they never should have done this to me, and they destroyed my life. And one young man wanted to get married and have children because, Sandy, over 90% of the people who have contacted me are not homosexual. This is not a homosexual issue. This is not a same-sex issue.
No, it's different. It's separate. People don't understand that.
And so, you know, he said, now they've cut my genitals off. I can't be a father. And so this is what's happening. You know, we're working with a group of people who will kill a baby in the womb. And if the baby is fortunate enough to come out of the womb, they do the second abortion, give them hormones, and cut body parts out. They want to destroy our children. That's what this is about. It's about Marxism.
I totally agree. It's just a new form of what they weren't able to do before in the past, but it's a new discovery of how to deconstruct and destroy lives and destroy the heart of God, which is male and female, created he them.
Amen.
It's attack against creation. Walt Heyer, it's always a pleasure.
Thank
Let me
you.
Just to give the practical stuff here. If you want to, sexchange.org?
Sexchangeregret.com.
Can't read my writing. Sexchangeregret.com is Walt's. If you have someone in your life or family who needs some help.
Or walthire.com.
Okay. Walt Heyer, HEYER.com. Walt, God bless you. And God bless you too, Casey, his silent partner over there, beaming.
She's the boss.
She's the boss. Okay, Casey. Well, go boss him around a little bit. But all it's right. great to talk to you guys. God bless you. All right, Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Later today, the Supreme Court will consider whether a Tennessee law that bans gender-affirming care for trans youth discriminates on the basis of sex.
Well, this marks the first time that the court will consider a law restricting transition-related health care for minors. And legal experts say that their decision could impact this care for both minors and adults for decades to come. NBC News Justice Correspondent Justinson, Intelligence Correspondent Kendall Enian joins us with more on this. Ken, good morning.
Hey, so Ken, so walk us through, first of all, what the Tennessee law says and just what's the key legal question the court is going to be answering today.
Good morning, Joe and Savannah. Well, this law is one of more than 24 in the country that ban so-called gender-affirming care for minors, things like puberty blockers and hormone treatments for anyone under 18. And it's being challenged on the grounds that it violates the 14th Amendment Equal Protection Clause in the Constitution, that it discriminates on the basis of sex. And that is the Biden administration position in this case, as well as the position of the plaintiffs. The appeals court ruled that this law was a reasonable response to conflicting medical evidence. And so that's the question here. And if the court rules that there is discrimination on the basis of sex, then the case is subject to what's called heightened scrutiny. And there's more of a chance that this law would be upheld. If the court decides that sex is not an issue here, then it's very likely that this law will be upheld, guys.
All right, so that was NBC in Washington, I think. And here's the story. So the Supreme Court just in recent days, like very recently, last week, I believe it was, heard the oral arguments for this case. And I think they explained it pretty well there. But the case was filed by the American Civil Liberties Union and the ACLU of Tennessee, Lambda Legal, and another a law office on behalf of Samantha and Brian Williams of Nashville and their 16-year-old transgender daughter, as well as two other plaintiff families filing anonymously, and Memphis-based physician Dr. Susan Lacey. The plaintiff families and Dr. Lacey argue that the law violates the equal protection rights of transgender adolescents. The United States also weighed in, you know, against the Tennessee law, of course, because Rachel Levine and all the other transgender persons that President Biden has chosen to be in his administration, they're all about this. So here's the thing I want you to understand. Most of us, I think most of you listening to me, would be on the same page with me in regards to transgender. If you're not, I'm always in the persuasion mode, but I'm going to assume some things here because most of my listeners are Christians. But this is their viewpoint, meaning the viewpoint of those that think this should continue. Brian Williams, the father of 16-year-old girl who is transgender, said Tennessee's ban on gender-affirming medical care is an active threat to the future my daughter deserves. It infringes not only on her freedom to be herself, but on our family's love for her. We are not expecting everyone to understand everything about our family or the needs of transgender young people like our daughter. What we are asking for is for her freedom to be herself without fear. We are asking for her to be able to access the care she needs and enter adulthood knowing nothing is holding her back because of who she is. And of course, you know, these are the kinds of very sympathetic, they're very convincing. But after talking to Walt and after hearing the testimony of Chloe Cole, you can see that this is just not true and that parents are actually all in on this. I find there are a lot of woke parents who think this is kind of cool, that their child wants to transition. They sort of brag about it. But we know that this is an abject lie. It's a lie from the pit of hell. And before I get into some things, besides all the things that Walt said, especially about the suicide issue, which, by the way, came up in the Supreme Court hearing, and Sam Alito was responding to Chase Strangio. They have made up names generally. They do. They sort of make up new names for themselves when they change genders. But he's the co-director of the ACLU's LGBTQ and HIV project. And he was the attorney speaking up, one of them, in the Supreme Court. And Alito responded to him on the issue of suicide. Let's listen. This is clip one.
On page 195 of the CAST report, it says, there is no evidence that gender-affirmative treatments reduce suicide.
What I think that is referring to is there is no evidence in the studies that this treatment reduces completed suicide. And the reason for that is completed suicide, thankfully and admittedly, is rare, and we're talking about a very small population of individuals with studies that don't necessarily have completed suicides within them. However, there are multiple studies, long-term, longitudinal studies, that do show that there is a reduction in suicidality, which I think is a positive outcome to this treatment.
All right, so do you hear the nonsense? Did you hear the nonsense in that? In this case study they're talking about and presenting to the court, they're actually saying that in this study that their suicide really wasn't a factor. You just heard the attorney say there were no completed suicides in this study. No completed suicides, but there was what? Suicidality. Suicidality. Anybody looked that word up lately? I'm not sure there is a word such as that. This is the kind of gibberish, like the made-up name. I'm sorry, I'm assuming, but I think it's a made-up name. This is the kind of foolishness, the fantasy that's being created in this world. And the Supreme Court actually will probably not decide this until June of 2025. And so, and if they decide it, it will change, you know, it will make it, it will supersede state laws there. I think there are 24 states now that have bans on giving hormones and sex change operations to children under 18. Thank God for those 24 states. It should be 50. Nevertheless, that's where we are with that, and we wait to see what the Supreme Court decides. Now, one last thing. We have had, as you probably know, we've had a real epidemic of transgender persons going on killing sprees. And I'll just remind you of one of them. This is from Fox 32 in Chicago. This is clip five.
Other news are following details on the manifesto of the woman who killed three children and three adults at a Nashville Christian school last spring have now leaked to the public.
Showing the thoughts of the killer, some of them vulgar. Anthony's back with these details.
Scott and Dawn, the three images released show a schedule for what the shooter termed Death Day and two pages expressing Covenant school shooter Audrey Hale's possible motive for killing six people, including three nine-year-olds. Children at the Covenant School she attended herself as a child. A month before the shooting in Hale's journal, she wrote, quote, kill those kids, then uses a racial slur describing white students at, quote, private fancy schools. The 28-year-old who identified as transgender also uses a homophobic slur writing, quote, about white privileges. On the morning of the attack, Hale describes feeling, quote, nervous but excited, writing, can't believe I'm doing this, but I'm ready. I hope my victims aren't. My only fear is if anything goes wrong, I'll do my best to prevent any of the sort. God let my wrath take over my anxiety. Nashville police say the pictured writings are not official crime scene images, as authorities now work to learn who released them.
And so, you know, as we watched the Audrey Hale shooting in Nashville, Tennessee, it was forever before we knew that it was a transgender woman. It's actually a guy taking the guns into the school and killing all these kids. And so that was kind of, and she had the manifesto, remember? He had the manifesto, and they wouldn't even release it. It finally had to be leaked, and then the police are all upset. I actually edited that part out. The prosecutors, whoever, they are upset that the manifesto was leaked to the public because they didn't want people to know. This is how it's going right now. But then we followed up with other shootings as well. As a matter of fact, we had Audrey in Nashville. Then we had somebody in Colorado Springs. We had Alec McKinney, 16 years old, in Denver, Colorado, in May. We had in Aberdeen, Maryland, we had Snasha Mosley, 26 years old, who identified as female. We've had a series of these shootings. And you may wonder, well, why suddenly would we have this? If you are on X, you will see that there's an account called Libs of TikTok, and that's a girl, a female, a Jewish woman. Actually, her name, Rachel, something like that, is her name. And she actually collects stories from all over the country from transgender persons, teachers in the classroom, all about transgenderism. And It's a really wealth of information. And she posted some time ago, we actually played this for you. This is a transgender woman. In other words, it's a man who has hair like a woman, making a threat. And I want you to hear it because we believe that there are posts and posts and posts like this on X, encouraging transgenders, encouraging other transgenders to kill people. Let's listen to this one.
I dare you to try and stop me from going into a women's bathroom. It will be the last mistake you ever make. I dare you to try and stop a transgender woman in my presence from using the bathroom. It will be the last mistake you ever make. This is a call to action and a call to arms to everybody within the United States that are scared, worried, have children that are transgender, lesbian, bi, or gay. This is a call to action. You need to arm up. Plain and simple. Go out, buy a gun. Learn how to use it efficiently. Through and through. Because the time to act is now. You need to protect yourself and you need to protect your fellow transgender brothers and sisters and theys and thems. You need to protect the rest of us in the LGB community, as I'm going to do myself. I do not fear Christians. I do not fear conservatives. I do not fear evangelicals, and I do not fear Republicans. They just talk a big game. That's all they do. But heaven forbid you do something in my presence, you're going to know what fear actually feels like.
All right, so that's someone on X on and Libs of TikTok made that public. There are lots of threats like that on Libs of TikTok. Here's the thing. I'm trying to make a point. Rachel Levine, the transgender HHS secretary, assistant secretary, is trying to tell us this is good for our kids, that it's going to cause suicide. And this is what they're telling parents. Your child will be suicidal if you don't let them transition. And it's a lie from the pit of hell, as is everything regarding being able to change your gender. It is hellish. It creates a horrible future, a no future really for your children. I think Chloe really explained that about not being able to, many of them just are sterile. They can never bear children. She said, I can never nurse a child. You are condemning your child to a life of despair. And so, and that applies to adults too who want to transition. And I just say, please go to WaltHire.com if you're struggling with this. We don't want you to do this. This is out of love and concern for you. And of course, now out of love and concern for the safety of our country. Because when you start messing with your hormones, women could ask the nearest woman to you if hormones kind of mess up your emotions. She could tell you easily that it happens to her every month. But if you are given female hormones and you're a guy, it really messes with your mind. And the same thing is true of women. So we have to stop this for the sake of our future, for the sake of God himself who created us male and female, created him, he, them. That's just the beginning. God created us, the male and female person that we are. We cannot change it. Walt said it very well, better than I. And so for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of truth, for the sake of children, neighbors, friends, and for the safety of our country, we have to stop this. All right, well, I really appreciate you listening to today's edition. And, well, I really appreciate you listening today. I hope you enjoyed. And share Walt Heyer's information with others because, like I said, he's written a ton of books which will help. And just be bold about it. And also remember, you know, I was trying to prepare for this show. I searched on the internet, the famous internet. I searched for transgender violence. Try that. And what they do is they'll give you a twisted version. They'll talk about the violence against transgenders. That's all it is. They won't give you any information about transgender violence. That's how twisted it is and how suppressed. And so we have to be bold and speak out about this stuff because otherwise people will never know. They will believe the lies. Well, I want to thank our sponsors. That's Timothy Plan, for one. That's our newest sponsor. Because you can put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit TimothyPlan.com/Sandy. That's TimothyPlan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-TIM-PLAN. Well, thank you. Thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.